Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Julie Borlaug is Assistant Director of Partnerships at the Borlaug Institute for International Agriculture at Texas A&M University. She visits South Dakota State University tonight at 7 p.m. Central to present Biotechnology, Friend or Foe in Fighting World Hunger. Julie Borlaug, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start right there with that friend or foe title. Why is biotechnology controversial where we need to be asking that question? What's at the heart of that?
Well, I think, first of all, the public doesn't understand agriculture and research, and that's primarily our fault in agriculture. So biotechnology seems scary. It's been labeled by those who are against technology and innovation and modern science and modern farming methods. It's been labeled as frankenfood. It's been somehow people believe that genetic modification equals processed food. So there's many negative perceptions out there. And I will say those groups that have led the way, and Greenpeace for one, have been clever about their social media, how they've marketed a campaign against us. And they've been at it a lot longer than the ag community trying to talk about what biotech really is. So they've really gotten their message out ahead of us, and more people have seen it and more people have believed what their information is versus kind of coming back and looking at the science side and why it's applied and why it's healthy and safe.
So what does the ag industry need to do to begin to catch up in sort of the public messaging or sharing the narrative? What's the story that needs to be told?
Well, I think we're doing it, but what I think we've learned is the way it rolled out, first of all, was that it was a benefit to the farmer, not a benefit to the consumer, and that was a negative. And I think we're now talking about the benefits to the consumer, but we also let scientists do a lot of the talking, and some scientists are phenomenal at their science and their research, but not the best communicators. So right. I think we put the wrong people out there. And we haven't had a lot of farmers who have done the speaking and come out and talked about the benefits and why they've chosen to use biotech corn or any of the other genetically modified seeds. So I think you're starting to see that. I think the ag companies have softened their message and are trying to explain it in a more understandable way. However, it's not going to be the ag companies who are going to make a change in the opinion. It has to be the farmers. We have a lot of mom advocates who are farmers or nurses who speak a lot about why it's okay. And I think you need a lot more women having the voice and talking to other mothers and women about why they've chosen this and why it's okay, and kind of dispel some of the myths on the organic side. And then I think people need to sit back and look and realize that it's a business to sell food, and if you can label things organic or market them as natural or say they are non-GMO when it would have been a product that's never been genetically modified, it sells quicker because of all of the misconceptions out there. So I think people need to realize a lot of this is a marketing gimmick to sell products, and we need to talk about why that's happening and how we can change that. So, the most important thing is we need to soften our message, and it doesn't need to be so scientific, and it needs to be directed to the public and why it's actually a benefit to them, not just farmers.
So what's wrong with the word organic other than sort of the marketing misuses of it? The organic that's not genetically modified. What are the flaws in a mother who's feeding her kids searching that out? What does she not know that she needs to understand?
Well, first of all, there's only 7 crops that are genetically modified. I think there's a lot of confusion in that. Strawberries are not genetically modified. Most horticulture, not genetically modified. So, when someone's slapping non-GMO on squash, baby food for squash,
right.
Well, it was never going to be genetically modified. So that's kind of a misperception. But organic food is fine. But I think it's a choice. It is no more nutritious than conventional breeding or genetically modified. Science have proven that. Pediatricians speak about it. But it can be an option, but you have to allow for other choices. No one group of people should say, you can only feed organic, because you don't see the other side saying you can only feed conventional or you can only utilize genetic modification. And I think that's kind of what's come out with the organic. I think people need to realize that some of the inputs, so meaning the herbicides or pesticides that go on organic crops, are natural but can often be a lot more harmful and stronger than some of the chemical options. So I think people need to realize that. And I think you have to look at organic, and this is a huge debate, but it's lower production because it takes more. And that's an environmental problem. When you look at, you're having to use more water, you're having to use more, whether it's natural, you're using natural inputs or whatever, that's adding more into the environment. When what we're trying to do with genetic modification is stop that. We're trying to develop drought-tolerant resistance. We are trying to have insect resistance, so we're using less insects, less pesticide. We're trying to find new ways for a plant to get nitrogen versus having to use fertilizer. So hence, that actually becomes more environmentally sustainable than when you're looking at an organic model. But I always tell people, you can use organic, but it's no more nutritious and safe. And just because someone slapped on an organic label or it says natural, you need to do a little more research.
So is some of the challenge really breaking down into those details instead of just saying genetically modified or, biotech and saying, no, we're specifically talking about drought-resistant wheat, for example, and this is how that can play out in, with a shifting climate, and those sort of things need to be researched so we can adapt to, to the world that we live in. Is that part of the communication message?
I think so, but just to clarify, in case anyone misunderstood, there is no drought tolerant wheat is not genetically modified, so there is no genetically modified wheat, and I often get asked that.
See, I didn't know that.
But no.
Okay,
so let's
dig down into because that's where I'm getting the false information, and I'm not knowing how to sort through it. So help me sort through that, because I can't tell you how many articles I've read about gluten intolerance, and if we ate the wheat that we ate 100 years ago, people wouldn't be having gluten intolerance. And so in my mind, I've made this shift. So tell me where I'm wrong, and so I can correct it.
Well, first of all, we've utilized conventional or hybrids. But
okay.
What people don't understand is we in America like accessibility, and we like to go grab a bread on a shelf in a bag for our school lunches or for in the morning, and we sit it there for a week.
Right.
There are chemicals, there are additives that make that bread stay fresh and last longer. That has nothing to do with the wheat and the wheat seed and the grain. Nothing is added into that. Mm-hmm. So when you want to talk about gluten, I would suggest that someone start making bread at home.
Right.
Fresh every day and see their reaction versus bread that has had extra additives to make it the shelf life longer and other things. I think a lot of people think that gluten, no one looks at the fact that, and we just had a conversation with some scientists, and they were asking some people this, has anyone tested, so when the grain leaves and goes to a miller, it's processed in different ways, and different things are added. Has anyone checked what the gluten level is once it leaves the farm, so the natural gluten level, versus when it starts getting processed, and if the gluten level goes up? And that's, something I think we need to look at. So is it the processing of how they're handling the wheat and the additives they're putting in causing more gluten intolerance versus actually what it's come, when it leaves the farm, what levels it has in it?
Well, this is part of our ongoing conversation about digging down and getting the facts that we need and not getting misled either unintentionally or, intentionally by folks who want to sell you something that maybe, changes your mind. So we just scratched the surface today, but you can see Julie Borlaug tonight at South Dakota State University, 7 p.m., and the talk is Biotechnology, Friend or Foe in Fighting World Hunger. And Julie, I vow to you, we'll have more guests on to continue this conversation, because clearly there were some blind spots in what I thought I knew as well. So we'll keep it going. We're out of time for today, but thanks for opening the door.
Thank you.